As we continue our series on the elementary principles, back to school. Very important, while our children are going back to school, sometimes it's important for us to go back to school in terms of making sure that our elementary principles are strong enough for us to build a strong foundation in our lives. We primarily have been taking this from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Shall we all read this together as we once again fill in the blanks that relate to this particular passage, Hebrews chapter 6, 1 to 2 in our sermon notes. Let's do that. As we read it, let us fill in the blanks. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. As we keep filling the blanks, I hope next time, hopefully, we will give a different kinds of blanks so that we'll fill the other blanks instead of the blanks that we have filled this time, just to be able to have a full concentration and remembrance and memorization of this particular scripture. I read it again. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, those are the two words that you need to write, of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. I hope you have written down. Let us read the same thing in Hindi language, please. Let us read this in Hindi language. इसलिए आओ मसीह की शिक्षा की आरंभ की बातों को छोड़कर हम सिद्धा की ओर बढ़ते जाएं और मरे हुए कामों से मन फिराने और परमेश्वर पर विश्वास करने और बाप्तिस्मों और हाथ रखने और मरे हुए की जी उठने और अंतिम न्याय की शिक्षा रूपी नेव फिर से न डालें. That means once we lay the strong foundation, we need to be able to build ourselves to perfection or maturity. Let's read the same in Hindi, in Telugu language, please, all together, whoever can read this language. Kabatti nirjeeva kriyalanu vidachi maru manasu pondutayu devuni andali viswasamunu baptismamunu gurinchina bodhayu hasta nikshepannamunu mrutula punadranamunu nithyamaina teerpunu anu punadi marala veyaka kristunu gurinchina moolopadesamu mani sampurna magdaku sagipodumu. May the Lord bless this specific portion that we have been meditating over the past few weeks and speak to us afresh from this particular scriptural portion. Today, our focus is on laying on of hands. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for enabling us to come together as we meditate on your word. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, we need to learn things from your word. We need to know the basics of Christian living. Many times we focus on many other things, forgetting about the strong foundation that we need to have. So guide us and lead us, for we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So today is a fourth sermon on this series. It's a total of six sermons. So we have completed three of them. We are into the fourth. We are in the second half of this sermon series. The two of them, the first two of them, talk about repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That is something that happens internally. Each one of us have to have that experience of repentance as we meditated on it. If you want to hear the sermon, you can go to the church website and listen to this as well. Repentance from dead works is trying to realize that we are going the wrong way, and we need to take a U-turn, maru manasu, meaning we have to change our mind, change our direction in order to be able to come back to the right direction that we need to take. Repentance from dead works. That is something that happens internally. Internally, there should be a change. And then as you have the repentance, as you experience the repentance, you also need to have the faith toward God that He is the one who has died for us on the cross of Calvary for the sake of the forgiveness of our sins. That is a faith, the saving faith. Remember the serving faith, the shielding faith. Do you remember that? Those are the things that you need to have internally. Repentance and faith happen internally. The next two happen externally. What are the next two? If you look at your sermon notes, you will see the next two. What are those two? The doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands. They are external. The first two, repentance and faith, have to happen internally. When you have that internal experience, then you can have the external expression. The first two relate to your personal experience. The next two, you come out and say, I want to show that experience externally. Baptism, especially the water baptism, it is very essential for us to lay that foundation. After the repentance and faith, we need to build upon this, the baptism and laying on of hands. These two are done by somebody else on you. Repentance and faith that you do yourself internally. And when you let it out externally, somebody else in the body of Christ would, especially from water baptism and laying on of hands, would do it externally. Do you see that? That is what we are going to do today. We are going to meditate on the second element of the external thing that would be done. You wouldn't lay hands on yourself. You won't go baptize yourself. Somebody else would do that. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, having repented of our sins and have faith in God, you should be able to go to the next step of witnessing in water baptism. You should be able to have the witnessing in water baptism. If you haven't experienced it, the time has come for you in order to be able to experience that water baptism, because that is what tells you externally. When somebody gets engaged, especially in this particular country, typically that engagement happens between two people. They propose to each other and they say that I want to get married to you. They commit themselves. That is not the end of the story. Once you commit yourself to each other, you plan to get married. The wedding happens as a big social event in front of everyone. You get married. You just can't say, I got engaged, that is fine. How long will you remain engaged? You want to get married. Similarly, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, that is the first step that you have taken. Yes, that's like engagement, where you made that commitment. You want to make that commitment public. You don't want to keep it to yourself. You make it a public event. That is what baptism and laying on of hands are, my dear. We should experience that. Paul Harvey, I don't know if you have heard about Paul Harvey, a famous radio broadcaster in the United States. He wrote about his own baptism. He said that even though he had received almost every reward for his broadcasting ability, that he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek in Arizona. Sunday morning came and they decided to go to a church nearby. They went to this little church and there were around 12 people present. He believed in Jesus, but he had never gone forward in a church service. One night, he had prayed in his hotel room and asked Jesus to come into his heart, but he felt that there was still something that was missing. He said that the preacher got up and announced that his sermon was going to be about baptism. Paul Harvey said, I yawned, but as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized the complete surrender of one's life to Jesus Christ and how there was nothing really magic in the water, but there was this cleansing inside that took place when I yielded myself to Jesus Christ. He went on to say, finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, he said, if any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit. To my surprise, I found myself going forward. The preacher had said there was nothing magic in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened, a cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys. Just one immensely happy one. I felt fulfilling the surge of the Holy Spirit in my life, Paul Harvey concluded. The change this simple act made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act And because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in taking and talking about my beliefs. Paul Harvey swam in the river of God's grace and love. It's very important to make a public confession of the faith that you have. You just can't say that I'm saved, done with it. You need to take this next step forward. These are basic, my dear. These are elementary. When are you going to grow up? You cannot grow up if you do not have strong foundational principles, repentance and faith, baptisms, and now it's going to be the laying on of hands. What is this laying on of hands? Maybe you have heard this. Maybe you have heard this associated with certain things that have happened in the Bible. Today we are going to survey on this laying on of hands as to what this specific laying on of hands is. There are certain things that happened in the Old Testament. There are certain things that happened in the New Testament. Certain things that are still applicable in the New Testament. Certain things that are not applicable anymore because it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that is what we are going to learn today. Baptism followed by laying on of hands. If you have witnessed any baptisms here in our church as well, you might have seen that the person who got baptized, when they come out of the water, they go and change their dress and then there will be laying on of hands. Because we want to follow the basic principles of the Word of God. Laying on of hands is also an external way of portraying something, and that is what we are going to show today. So let us start with how it all began. How it all began. First of all, that we can learn about laying on of hands is, the first C is covering. Laying on of hands has something to do about covering. Let us look at some of the scriptural portions from Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. Please read as I ask you to read it. Verse 4. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4. Shall we all read this together, please, this time? Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. Please read in any other language, verse 4. Atonement, prayaschittamo. You know what atonement means? The actual meaning of the word atonement means covering. That's the simple definition of the word atonement. Atonement means covering. Prayaschittam, that means something is being covered on the top of it. And here we notice there are many scriptural portions here, Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 2. There also you'll see laying hand on the head of an animal. Chapter 4 verse 15. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. And many other scriptural portions, if you read the book of Leviticus, there was something that was going on here. Let me explain to you what was going on. In the Old Testament time, as part of the sins that people have committed, they had to do an offering, make an offering. And when they make an offering, they will put their hands on an animal. And when they put their hands on an animal, they are saying, the sins that I have committed, this animal is going to take the punishment of the sins that I have committed. They place their hands on that particular animal and then they sacrifice the animal. That is how the Old Testament way of God's arrangement of the sins, it is a symbolism of the fact that there should be somebody that should die for sin. And that somebody in the Old Testament was an animal. It could be a ram, it could be a bull, it could be a ram, it could be a sheep, different kinds of animals based on their way of how much they can afford. This particular sacrifices used to happen. They used to place hands on the animal and say, Lord, the sins that this person has committed are being taken up or substituted by this particular animal. Laying on of hands, that sins were covered. They are being taken care of. I'll cover for you, they say, right? People, okay, can you please do this? Yeah, I'll cover it for you. What does covering mean? They are taking over the thing that this person was supposed to go through. The sin offering was being done by sacrificing an animal. So the first thing that we can write down in as part of this covering is laid on animals. laid on animals. The covering, the sin that we have committed was laid on animals. That was the Old Testament way. But let me tell you, something has happened as part of the New Testament. There was a Lamb of God who came into this world on whom the sins were put forth. Let us read that from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Please read. If you have a King James version, if you can read verse 6. All of us were like sheep gone astray, but the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The laid upon him. Who is that lamb? Who is that? This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. If you read Hebrews chapter 10, the first 10 verses, you don't need to reopen it now, but you can note it down. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to all the way till 10 verses approximately. It talks about how Jesus became sacrifice once and for all. He became the sacrifice. The laying happened on Jesus Christ. So that is what the second bullet that we can note it down. That not only was the covering in the Old Testament laid on animals, now it is laid on Jesus. It was laid on Jesus. You can note it down. Laid on Jesus. And then, let's go to this particular covering. I want to explain one thing very important here. There are many theories coming nowadays. Many theories. They say, unless somebody puts their hand on somebody, they are not saved. Because the laying on of hands was covering and etc. There is nothing like that, my dear. It is taken care by Jesus Christ. The whole sin that was supposed to be upon us was laid upon Jesus Christ. So that laying of hands were on Jesus Christ, and it is done. Once and for all, it is done. So this covering, just to explain to you, this is no longer applicable for us to do anymore because Christ did it for us. Though in the Old Testament time, the laying on of hands was explained, the laying on of hands for on these animals is no longer applicable because Jesus Christ became that sacrifice for us. That is a background. Now let's go to the next one. Laying on of hands can also refer to caring. The second one that you want to note it down is caring. What is this caring? The caring that we can see here is something very important. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139 and verse 5. When somebody lays their hand upon us, it talks about caring. When a father or a mother lays their hand upon a child, it talks about the caring. Or a grandfather or a grandmother lays their hand on their grandchild, it talks about the caring. Let us see that. Psalm 139 and verse 5. It says, "You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Very important. This is Psalm 139, talking one of the wonderful psalms that people meditate upon and refer to, because it has so many truths that we can learn. And in this particular one, it says, "You have laid your hand upon me." God has laid his hand upon us. More than people laying their hands, it is God who is laying his hands upon us. If you see in verse 8, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea," verse 10, notice this very carefully, Psalm 139, verse 10. "Even there your hand will lead me." The hand that is upon me, the hand that is laid upon me, that hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. He is laying his hand of me. He is laying hold of me, not just holding my hand. He is holding me. Verse 10, "Your right hand will lay hold of me." The hand of God is upon me. He is laying hold of me. God is laying hold of me. When my kids were small, when they were about to start walking, I remember those days. Now they have grown up. When they have to walk, sometimes I put my hand on their head and say, oh, you turn this way. I just tend to put my hand on their head and try to let them see in this direction so that they'll see here, okay, I'll go this way. Laying hand on the person enables that person to be very close. When somebody lays their hand, that means they're not too far off, let me tell you. We have a God who's saying that I have laid my hand on you, verse 5. And in verse 10, I am holding you. I am leading you. What a caring God we have, let me tell you. Maybe you haven't experienced it, that hand of God. Maybe today, it is a great opportunity for us to experience the hand of God, which is not too far away, my dear. The hand that saves us. The hand that leads us. The hand that holds us by his right hand. God is a God who cares for us. He definitely cares for us. If you see Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, when John the apostle had a dream, had a vision, and he almost fell down, it says in verse 17, I fell down like a dead man, it says Revelation chapter 17. Chapter 1, verse 17, Revelation 1, 17. When I saw him, Jesus Christ, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me. He laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Maybe there are some fears that we are going in our lives right now. The Lord is reminding us from his word, do not be afraid. Fear not. Let me tell you, the two words, fear not, makes a difference in our lives. One thing is that he is with us. His hand is upon us. When God has laid his hand upon us, he is there with us. He is leading us. He is guiding us. He is encouraging us as well. And as he does it, there is something that Jesus was doing when he was here on this earth. Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 onwards. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 onwards. Then some children were brought to him so that he may lay his hands on them and pray. Jesus Christ was here on this earth, and people brought their children to Jesus so that he would lay his hands on them and do what? Pray. Laying on of hands associated with prayer. Not just laying on of hands and done with it. That he may lay his hands on them and pray. And pray. And the disciples rebuked them. You know the story, what has happened. But I want us to look at the way in which Mark also writes this particular story. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. Quickly, Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. The same story, let us see what it says in verse 16. It says, he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. We have a caring God, my dear. We have a God who cares for us. Jehovah Jireh cares for us. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. The songwriter says that also. He is my provider. He cares for me. Maybe you may be thinking somebody is not caring for us. Well, let me tell you, there is one who always cares for us, and that is the God of this creation, who came down into this world as Jesus Christ. He cares for us. He cares not only for you, for your children as well, let me tell you. It is our responsibility to bring our children to Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to bring our children to Jesus Christ. Bring them. Take them, send them to Sunday school. Send them to the places where they can learn from God's word. Let them learn Jesus Christ. Because when they come to Jesus, you will see the way in which Jesus will take care of them. When he took them in his arms and began blessing them. There could be many parents who must have thought, oh, I don't need to bring my children to Jesus Christ. But when they brought, the ones who brought their children to Jesus Christ, he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. The same thing we notice in the Old Testament time, in the beginning, in Genesis. Let us see in Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, Jacob, also called Israel, he, in his last days, or probably his last day itself, he comes and meets his son Joseph. In verse 8, Genesis chapter 48 and verse 8, when Israel or Jacob saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Verse 9, Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." So he said, Jacob said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Grandfather, telling to his son, bring them here. Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. And you know what happens after that? Joseph brings both his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob crosses his hands and blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, instead of Manasseh and Ephraim. But both of them were blessed in a way. So here we notice there is a blessing when he laid hands on the children, or other words, grandchildren. In the biblical world, this laying on of hands has been going on with all these various things that we notice to lay hands. Culturally also, a lot of people lay their hands on somebody's head in order to be able to show forth that they care for them, and they ask that the Lord would bless them as much as they want to set their blessings upon those people on whom the hands are laid. That is first one that you want to write it down, blessing. As part of caring, there is blessing. God wants to provide his blessings upon us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to say that I am the one who wants to lead you in the path that you should go. Maybe we are running away here and there. God is holding us, laying his hands on us and say, not that way, turn this way, go this way. I want to offer my blessings upon you. The blessings that are not temporal alone, but the blessings that are for eternity. Secondly, that we notice the laying on of hands from a caring perspective is related to healing. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And verse 40. Please read Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. As part of healing process, Jesus was laying hands on the people and healing them. And this was followed in the New Testament church as well. When somebody was sick, they laid their hands on the person. Sometimes they use oil as per James chapter 5. They lay their hands on that person, praying that the Lord would heal them. To be able to show forth, Lord, just as you did in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, and just as you have commanded your people to do it in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, I too want to be able to place my hands on so and so. Lord, please heal this brother. Please heal this sister. And that is how the laying on of hands. Upon care, as part of caring only, Jesus Christ was not only blessing those children by laying his hands, but also many instances in the scripture, especially in the gospels, we notice that Jesus laid his hands on people as part of healing as well. And when we pray, when we lay our hands, we say, Lord, may your hand, healing hand, touch him, we say. It is not human hands, but it is God's hands that should be able to be experienced. And human hands are just a symbolism of showing forth. These things covering, which no longer is applicable in the New Testament because Jesus Christ has become the sacrifice for us. And caring when it comes to children or healing, these are the typical ways of laying on of hands. But from this elementary principles, there are two more that we are going to learn today. As part of the elementary principles, having experienced repentance, faith, have expressed in baptism, now what should I do? The thing that we can learn is, you can note it down, consecrating. The word consecrating, pratishtita, pratishtichabadadam, pratishtita meaning being able to say, Lord, as we lay hands on this person, do your wondrous thing. Especially if you have noticed, for those who have been baptized in our church or even other churches who follow the similar principles, there is baptism followed by laying on of hands. And when we lay hands on that person, representation of a few people will come forward who are responsible as well to lay their hands to represent the universal body of Christ and saying, Lord, this particular person, as much as this person has experienced to be part of the body of Christ, baptized into the body of Christ, we too want to tell that so-and-so is our fellow brother in Christ. By laying hands on that person, we are telling that. By laying hands on that person, we are saying that the church, he or she needs the church to be able to grow in the Lord. And the church needs this person in order to be able to work together to grow in the Lord. And such is a kind of consecration, to be able to consecrate a person in the church as we lay hands on. Let us look at certain principles here that we see in the book of Acts, chapter 9. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, Saul, on his road to Damascus, has a great, wonderful experience with Lord Jesus Christ. His life changed. He got converted in a sense. He was a persecutor of Christ. Now he is ready to be persecuted for Christ. And while he had the encounter with Jesus Christ, his physical eyes got masked. And when his physical eyes got masked, he was lying there in Damascus someplace in a house. As he was in that house, the Lord talks to a man by name Ananias. And Ananias comes and meets Saul. This is a background. And in verse 17, we'll pick up from there. Ananias comes and meets Saul. You know what he says? Initially, Ananias was afraid because Saul was persecuting Christians. And now, Paul himself has become a Christian, or he has accepted Jesus as his personal savior. Verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands on Saul and he said, the Lord who appeared to you has sent me so that you may regain your sight. In other words, the physical healing. Not only that, now you see, as part of this consecrating, the first thing that we can note down is filling. He has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filling with the Holy Spirit is another concept. And as he laid his hands, his prayer was that Saul, who is called his brother now, Brother Saul. Why do we address each other as brother? Some people don't even want to address each other as brother. But here Ananias addressed Saul as his brother, meaning we are all part of that one body of Christ. When we are part of that one body of Christ, he is now saying, I am laying my hands on you. As I lay my hands on you, may you regain your sight and also be filled with the Holy Spirit. You might have received the Holy Spirit of God, but when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God in you. The filling with the Holy Spirit of God is a continual process for a believer, let me tell you. It continuously happens in your walk with the Lord. As you keep walking with the Lord, you are continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You may wonder, what is this filling with the Holy Spirit of God? The other day, last Wednesday also, we have heard that Holy Spirit of God is a person. It is not that you'll be receiving him little by little by little. Holy Spirit of God is a person. You will be filled, you will receive him. But when you say that the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you, the word filling has also the specific meaning to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God can also mean being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians, let us look at that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18. Please read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He's comparing drinking with filling with the Spirit. You know what happens when a person is drunk? They are controlled by the intoxication. They don't know what they are talking. They don't know how they are behaving. They don't know what they are, where they are going also. Because it is that intoxication that is controlling that person, the way they are walking, the way they are talking. Everything is controlled by that intoxication. Drunkenness. Now here he is saying, do not be get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit enables you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now when you are talking, you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. When you are speaking, you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. When you are walking, you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That is what Ananias was praying. Lord, as I lay hands on this person, may you fill this person with the Holy Spirit of God, so much so that everything that this person does or speaks is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you, just receiving the Holy Spirit of God is not sufficient. You need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Having God as a resident in your life is not sufficient. Having God as a president of your life is what is needed in your life. He may be a resident. You may say, God, you just sit at the corner. I will manage my life. I will control my life. You don't control my life. That is having God as a resident, saying, oh, I have received Christ. Oh, yes. Have you received Christ? Yes. Have you received the salvation? Yes. But where is the control of your life? Is God in control of your life? Our prayer as we lay hands on that person is that they are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Constantly being able to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. These drunken people, they keep drinking daily, 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 on and on and on and on there because they want to be constantly being controlled. Not by the things of this world, but they want to go into a different world by where they don't even know what they are speaking. So that is what filling of the Holy Spirit is. Secondly, gifting. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Please read. Neglect not the gift of God that is within you, or spiritual gift that is within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophecy and the laying on of hands by the presbytery or the elders. Laying on of hands has caused this person to be able to discover the specific spiritual gift. Just by these people laying hands, these people are not imparting the gift. The gifts are given by the Holy Spirit of God, as he desires, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these gifts are given, but this person might not be able to know or discover the gifts. As much as they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they will be able to discover the gifts that are given. Through prophetic utterance, Lord, I pray, Father, as they are praying, sometimes this person may recognize, Lord, maybe this is the specific gift that I am given in order for me to be able to use it in the right manner. As we lay hands on that person, we pray that the Lord would enable them not only to have the spiritual gift, but also discover that spiritual gift. Many times people don't know what spiritual gifts they have. Many times you don't know, let me tell you. You might think, oh, this brother has this, this sister has it, I don't have any. If you are a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift. Maybe you're not discovering it. I know some people who were telling, Brother, I don't know what my spiritual gift, I don't know how to be used in the church of God. And now they are mightily being used in the church of God. You may not think that that is a gift, but God can use that gift. When we started this, when we moved from the old church to the new church also, we didn't know how this church, this building is going to be set up. And there were people who came forward and said, yes, we can help with this out. Many times we think gifts means preaching, teaching, or playing music, etc. But there are many other gifts, let me tell you, that God has given you and I to be able to use it. Not everyone is a hand. Not everyone is a mouth. There are some that are internal. There are some that are external. And you should know what that gift is. If you have the desire, as we pray, that God would reveal that gift unto you. And that is very important that you should learn. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. What does it say? For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God. Fan the flame of the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. God has given us such a kind of spirit. When hands are laid on that person, we are praying, Lord, that this person may use that gift. Give him the necessary, give him or her the necessary power. Not timidity, help them not to be timid. As we pray, as we baptize that person, as we lay hands on this person, we pray that this person may not be timid Christian, but this person may be able to be a bold Christian. May the power of the resurrection of God be upon this person. May this person continuously be filled with the Spirit as much as they are gifted by the Spirit. That is what consecrating is. And as we consecrate this person, as the song goes, consecrate me, Lord, to thy service. Let us look at that. The fourth and the final one, commissioning. The laying on of hands in the Old Testament days was covering only. But Jesus took care of it because the Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Done with it, the first one. Second one in terms of caring, then consecrating, and finally commissioning. Let us see in what way this commissioning was going on. Very important. Acts chapter 6 and verse 6. Acts chapter 6. In this particular chapter, we notice another aspect about laying on of hands. And see here, it says verse 3 onwards. Let me read from verse 3 onwards. Acts chapter 6 verse 3. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit. You know what it means? Fully controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Not little by little. In the church, being like this. At home, being a different. No! At workplace, or at home, or at church, or on the road while driving. Full of Holy Spirit. Full of Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to the prayer and ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. And then in verse 6, what does it say? And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them to be involved in the ministry of God. The first thing that we can notice in commissioning is serving. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me to thy service, Lord. I want to be consecrated to your service. I want to serve you. As you serve, there is laying on of hands as well. To identify people who are full of the Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. There are many in the church, in local churches, they are called carnal Christians. You know carnal Christians? They are not fully controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. They say, they claim that they are believers, but their walk and their talk is carnality because they are controlled by the flesh. What is that to me? I won't give up. I will do it. This is you. I am the one. Who are you? And such kind of carnality that comes within the local churches. Churches are filled with carnal people and spiritual people, and that is where there are fights and divisions. Because carnality and spirituality cannot go together. Unless the person is full of spirit, full of wisdom, there is no way in which that person can serve faithfully towards God, because there would be a lot of carnality that might come. Oh, I want to get fame. I want to get glory to myself. I want to do this. I want to do that. Even in the churches. Let us be cautious. When we lay hands on people, our prayer is that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not only being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and sitting there, but to serve. God wants to commission you to go and preach. preach the gospel to all nations, making them disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And for that, you should be ready. And when the hands are laid on the persons, they were ready to be involved in the ministry. Ministry doesn't mean just word, let me tell you. A lot of people say, I'm going there to that church for ministry. You may be going there to serve also. You may be helping there to cook food, or you may be helping there to take care of children. You may be helping there to play. But in our local church, everyone, God has given you the specific gift. And our prayer is that you may use them for the glory of God. Are you ready to serve Him? When we involve people in the various ministries that we have, we don't want to hurry up. Probably those of us who are involved in the ministry, you know, we tell we want to pray for that person for some time. And after we have peace towards being able to see that person is living it out, having the testimony, then we don't want to hurry up. And then we say, we want to pray with you. We want to lay our hands on you. And we want to involve you in the specific ministry that God has given. Serving. And next, sending as well. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1 onwards. Now there were at Antioch in the church, that there were their prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Mananian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. You see that? The list had Barnabas as the first name, Simeon and others, and the last was Saul. Verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, the first and the last in the list, for the work to which I have called them. Verse 3, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away to be sent out, to be able to go on the mission field, to lay hands on these people and to be sent out. Not out of our will, but it is God's will. When the Spirit of the Lord had told, there's no one that, nothing that we can do as human beings other than say, we want to go, let you go on missionary trip. Go. They went on missionary journey. It started off with Barnabas and Saul, and how God has brought forth Saul in order to be able to take up so much of responsibility, and Barnabas also at a later point of time. So here we notice commissioning, serving and sending. Laying on of hands has so much of impact in the church of the living God. While the first two are in generic terms, first one is no longer applicable, the second one is generically caring, etc. The next two need to happen, especially as you have received Jesus as your personal Savior. You have witnessed in water baptism to tell forth the people that I am dead with Christ, buried with Christ, alive with Christ through water baptism. The immediate thing that we do as a local church is to bring you here and lay our hands on you and to say, as part of the universal church, you are also a member of the body of Christ. And we recognize you as a member of the body of Christ by laying hands. Laying hands, we have to be very cautious. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily. 1 Timothy 5, 22. And thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourselves free from sin. So we have to be cautious. Not everyone in generic sense to go ahead and lay hands on everyone and do everything. Especially when it comes in this context, it is related to commissioning. It is related to commissioning. When after water baptism, when we do the laying on of hands, it is primarily consecrating. And as they are growing in the Lord, we can see the growth, and then we commission them in order to be able to serve and also to be able to send them to the work of the Lord. And that is what laying on of hands is. My dear brothers and sisters, notice the first block, covering. We don't need to do any more. We because Christ Jesus has become the atoning sacrifice for us. The word atonement means covering. He has come into this world. He has died for us on the cross of Calvary. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him, and he died for us on the cross of Calvary. That hands that were nailed for us on the cross of Calvary, those are the hands that are caring hands as well. God wants to lay his hands upon us in order to be able to bless us in such a manner that we may become a blessing to others. That is the whole reason that why he wants to bless us. Temporal blessings aside, he has given us eternal blessings, spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. If you have experienced that, then let me tell you, come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you have come for me into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary. You have laid down your life for me. You have stretched your hands for me on the cross and died for my sins. All you and I need to do was to repent of our sins, to come by faith toward God, witness in baptism, and witness in laying on of hands. Repentance and faith are internal. Baptism and laying on of hands are external. The water baptism that I'm talking about. Don't you want to take that step, my dear? If you have experienced the specific kind of baptism and laying on of hands, we praise God with you. Are you involved in the ministry of God? Are you being commissioned? Or are you still discovering your gifts? May the Lord enable you to discover the gifts. May the Lord bless this word.